Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Thanks for listening to AFR. Our address, our email address is comments@AFR.net, comments@AFR.net. I'm Tim with Fred Jackson and Ray Pritchard, raised in Florida. We're in Mississippi. And joining us in studio, by we in Mississippi, I mean Fred and I here. And Steve is also.
Hey, Merry Christmas, everybody.
Steve Paisley-Jordahl joins us. How you doing, Brother Steve?
I'm well. It's a good day here in Mississippi.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Ray is showing us the difference in time zones. He's having lunch right now.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly right.
Yeah, it's 12:05 where you live.
Yeah. That's right. I'm having a ham sandwich and Coke Zero.
I like Coke Zero myself.
Me too.
What's the difference between Coke Zero and Diet Coke?
The taste.
Yeah.
Oh, is that?
Different sugars, different fake sugars.
I think Coke Zero is better than Diet Coke.
Yeah, I agree.
Yes. I was a Coca-Cola guy.
Okay.
And then I got to be my age and the Coca-Cola's. Put on, what is it? Just look on the side of a can. What is it, 200 calories?
Mm-hmm.
For a straight-up Coke.
Okay.
Right.
Okay, with just cane sugar or whatever you call it.
This one has zero.
So
zero
that's why
calories.
They call it Coke Zero. It's got zero calories.
There you go.
That's right.
So you can drink a, what we in the South call a Coke. Everything's generic called a Coke.
That's right.
And you go to other parts of the country, it's called soda.
Uh-huh. Right. Or pop.
Or pop. Soda yeah. Or pop or... In many parts of the South, any soft drink's called a Coke.
Yeah, what kind of Coke would you like? I'd take a Dr. Pepper.
I don't know how that happened, but that's just the way it is. But the Coke Zero, you asked me a question, didn't you, Fred? You didn't expect a 2-minute dissertation on Coke, but I'm going to give you an answer. So, because when you switch from Coke to Diet Coke, it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
Raise your hand if you had.
No, I'm with you.
Because it tastes so funny, your guy going, I don't like this aftertaste. I want to go back to Coke.
Mm-hmm.
But then your pants start stretching, and you say, I'm gonna have to give up the taste, but I still want to keep the Coke taste.
Okay.
So
but Chuck, let me interrupt you and ask this question. Have you ever had Diet Pepsi?
Let me finish 1 second, and then we'll get to the Diet Pepsi.
Right. I got a question after that.
Okay, because this is important stuff.
This is right.
If you look in the book of Revelation, this is covered.
It's right there, verse chapter 17.
Yeah, it's covered. How to deal with soft drinks in the end times.
That's right.
So, Fred, to answer your question, Fred, a Coke Zero, you get the best of both worlds.
Okay.
You get zero calories, and you get the taste of a Coke and not a Diet Coke. Does that help?
Okay, that helps a lot.
But I like that. I've gotten used. You get it's like anything else. You get used to it. I've adapted the taste for Diet Coke. My wife, she prefers a Diet Coke over a Coke Zero. So anyway, a lot of people are in that position. All right, go ahead, Ray. What were you going to say?
I put a quick word in.
For Pepsi.
I don't drink Pepsi, but Diet Pepsi is good.
I
actually like that. But do you ever go into a restaurant where they will have the, I guess they call it the Mexican Coke with the different kind of sugar?
I don't think that's legal.
Isn't cane sugar from Mexico?
Cane sugar, right? Cane sugar. I mean, I've just heard it called Mexican Coke. They import it.
Now, we're
Mexican
bombing Coke. Ships for that reason. you get your Mexican Coke coming in here.
I don't think we
want to be promoting that, Ray. Really.
Hey, but I'm feeling no pain. You know?
you're talking about,
it's Coke in a bottle with a, help me out here, Steve.
Steve knows this. Well, Steve, what are we talking about here?
Mexican Coke? I was researching some news. But yeah, the Mexican Coke, it's just a different sugared Coke. I haven't been able to drink any of sugared diet things for years since I was diagnosed with diabetes.
You drink?
Diet Coke. And I tell you what, I am used to the Diet Coke taste, and I kind of prefer, actually, I changed my mind. I prefer the Diet Coke taste to the Coke Zero taste. But we got a Dr. Pepper Zero out in the lobby here that when I'm going for a soft drink, that's what I get. So it does. It tastes a lot
Dr.
more.
Dr. Pepper Zero?
It's a diet version of the sugared drink that tastes just like it.
They say that stuff they use for sugar substitutes is bad for you.
Yeah, everything's bad for you.
Well, I'm just a general rule. I'm kind of into sarcasm like you are on this.
I don't even know how sarcastic that is.
Well, maybe it isn't sarcasm. It's a realistic view of the world.
Thank you.
RFK Jr. has made us feel guilty about everything.
Well, you're right. I don't think that is it. Saccharin? What is it called?
You got.
Anyway, it's sugar.
It's Nutella, but everybody knows Nutella is good for you.
Sugar substitute.
Yeah.
Hey, you can also buy these.
Stevia? That's one.
I got Stevia in my car because, he was a great singer.
Yeah.
You know, that guy, he was blind.
He was a wonder.
He was a wonder.
He was a wonder.
Wait a minute. We're talking about two different things.
We might be.
Not Stevia Wonder. We're talking about Stevia, the sugar substitute.
Uh-huh.
Now, that's supposed to be okay for you right there.
Yeah.
I got a little squirt. You put it in your iced tea. And or water, you put it in water and it flavors it. Go ahead.
I go with honey.
In what?
In when I like my coffee.
Like real honey?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Like 5-10 seconds to drip off the spoon, honey.
Well, you can. We have local stores here.
Okay.
Local honey.
Yeah.
You know, bee producers.
Yeah.
And they say it's good for allergies, the local allergies.
You talking about you put that in your, but you don't put that in a soft drink.
I put it in the coffee.
In coffee, okay.
Coffee, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
Wow.
Anyway, we got all this started because Fred said Ray's having lunch.
I just saw Ray having a sandwich.
That's we can see Ray on a video screen that people listening to us can't see, and he's having a ham sandwich and a diet.
And having a good
and
time.
And a Coke Zero.
That's right. Feeling no pain, friends.
By the way, the new set you've got there. I know, again, people can't see you like we can, but you've got a new set. Is that so you can do interviews?
That's interviews and do some Bible teaching. And
I got
some
you.
Bible
keep
teaching.
Keepbelieving.com?
That's it. That's
keep, us. Keepbelieving.com.
Yeah.
That's us.
All right, you're listening to today's issues. And now that we've covered some real deep stuff here, we're going to pitch it over to Steve for the news.
I just saw this, and I think I have to mention it. So... Russell Brand has been on the kind of the circuit, the conservative circuit. He has made a profession for Christ. He opened AmFest with prayer, and everything you see from him lately has been about God and about his relationship with Jesus.
AmFest is the Charlie Kirk event.
Right, right. So Russell Brand has come out very publicly as a Christian, as a Christ follower. He was just charged with new rape and sexual assault offenses from 2009, well before he became a Christian or he claimed Christ, and he is going to be facing those charges. Prayer for Russell Brand.
You don't know if this stuff is true when it comes to celebrities of all stripes, because first of all, you got a lot of gold diggers out there, and you got a lot of people who, it sounds like I'm disparaging people who were sexually assaulted. I'm not, in reality. I'm just saying, you always have to wonder when it's a rich, powerful person, are they being targeted by women who just want money and they make a false claim against somebody?
He's been through a couple of these that were false. These are new charges. They are alleged to have taken place between 7 February 2009 and March 2009. Relates to one woman. The new count of sexual assaults is alleged to have been taken place between 31 August and 2009. I'm sorry, December 2009. Relates to a separate woman.
How do you even go back that far? It's like they did with President Trump. They went back like 30 years to some claim a woman made in a department store or something.
I want to say this, though. Russell Brand was a very different man then. He was very worldly. And I don't know whether there's any, like you, I don't know if there's anything to this charge, but what I am asking is that the believers out there pray for who I believe is their brother in Christ.
What do you pray for?
Pray for justice. Pray that he honors Christ through the process.
Okay. Russell Brand's he was a comedian / actor from Britain. If you don't know the name, you've seen him. You've seen him on TV.
BBC has been going hard with this story this morning.
So he's been accused. He's been accused by multiple women back
some of these charges go way back.
Years ago.
And he has faced these charges and been vindicated from similar charges before.
I just wonder, how do you go back? Like, it seems like it could be a statute of limitations. You go back 30 years like they did against Trump to find this woman because he did so. She claimed he sexually assaulted her. Trump, remember that?
Yeah.
And you're going like, how in the world can somebody prove or disprove something from that long ago? And why do you wait this long to bring it up?
Yeah.
Something like that. Anyway. All right. You're listening to today's issue, next story.
You guys talked about Sarah Sanders and her letter to the Freedom From Religion Foundation in the first hour. I want to contrast the the conservative government that we have within Arkansas and Washington and everything. This is a statement that came out from the White House on December 17th, 2021, from the Biden White House. It was part of a transcript of a news conference. This is what they said. And this is in the middle of the pandemic. Omicron was what they thought was going to take down. They said, and Merry Christmas, everyone. We are intent on not letting Omicron disrupt work and school for the vaccinated. You've done the right thing, and we'll get through this. For the unvaccinated, you're looking at a winter of severe illness and death for yourselves, your families, and the hospitals you may soon overwhelm.
Who said
that's
that?
That's the Biden White House from 2021.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That's the way that they chose to celebrate Christmas. Just want to say there's a difference.
I think that was Biden himself, if I remember correctly. He gave a speech saying that.
I remember.
Talking about that. Yeah, that whole episode was a sad day, metaphorically, for our country. And the way that whole COVID vaccine was pushed, like, I didn't have a problem with people getting it if they want to. It should have been voluntary. Though, but the people who were getting it were like morally superior,
as that statement
to people who didn't want to get it, because they felt like it was rushed to market. We didn't know what it did to people, and then people were going, "What do you?" I remember and everybody listening to me had an experience kind of like this. Probably, it was that Christmas, one of those COVID Christmases. Didn't we have like two of them? Or the first one? Anyway, the first one. Okay, the COVID hit in March, and then by that Christmas. They were saying they were discouraging Christmas family gatherings. Remember that? The CDC was, everybody, we don't need to get in groups that are super spreaders and all
making
that.
Christmas church services illegal.
So my mother-in-law was on the phone with another family member. My mother-in-law passed earlier this year, but back then the other family member is going like, hey, is everybody going to have the vaccine shot? And my mother-in-law says, well, no, they're not, because some of them don't want to get it. And then the other family member says, oh, so they think they're smarter than the experts. You know, that's the kind of reaction you got from a lot of people, Ray, back during that. You know, if you didn't want to get it, you were a dumb bumpkin, who were putting people at risk, only to learn a few months later that the vaccine doesn't keep you from getting it or doesn't keep you from spreading it. So anyway, go ahead.
So what did we go through all that for? And we've talked about it on the show. I got the vaccine and at least one of the follow-up pills just because in the beginning.
You didn't know.
We didn't know. We didn't know.
You're going to die if you don't get it. So they're scaring older people and not just
you. And you, if you're up at that point, let's see, in 2020, I was, late 60s?
Yeah.
So you're in that red zone anyway, right? So a lot of seniors did it just because we were warned about it and we didn't know what we didn't know. If you said to me, would I do it now? I'm not going to say no, but I'll tell you, I would think a lot harder and do a lot more research, right? I'd be a lot more skeptical now.
Yeah, and I think most of us are like, if you want to get the vaccine, go ahead. But let everybody be free to choose.
Yes. That's right.
Okay. And if we ever run into this kind of situation again, hopefully we've learned our lesson. Yeah. Go ahead.
And the flip story to that was people being mocked for taking ivermectin. Remember that?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know one person that it saved their life. Yes. I know them personally.
Really?
Ivermectin did.
Yeah. Well, was it President Trump? He was treated with ivermectin. And the media was just mocking him. Yep. The science community was just mocking him. And lowered.
Dewormer.
And lowered.
Dewormer.
Yeah. Horse pills.
Horse pill.
Yeah.
You believe it. You're a flat earther.
Yeah, and lo and behold, it helped a lot of people.
All right, you just did that to trigger us, didn't you, Steve?
I love
you
that.
You just threw that.
Well, and do you remember, too, how all the pastors, good people, really, good people, good conservative, even almost every church in America shut down for a little bit, you know.
Yes.
I'll say this, in traveling around the country in the last 5 years and talking to really good pastors who, for various reasons, you didn't want to infect your congregation.
I know, right? That's true.
You didn't want to do it. Every single pastor I know, including some from very, very large congregations, they've unanimously said, we are never shutting our church down again. We are not going to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Remember, John MacArthur, California, was charged.
Right.
Pastor John MacArthur.
Yeah. Jenna Ellis.
Representative.
Our own Jenny Ellis defended him in court.
Yes. And he won that case eventually.
Won. Yeah, absolutely. All right. You're listening to today's issue. Next story, Steve. Don't do that to us again.
Okay.
Don't just throw out COVID memories and say, watch Tim, Fred, and Ray, heads spin off their shoulders.
We were talking about ham sandwiches and Diet Pepsi and all of a sudden.
Let's talk about California and the people leaving. There's a lady named Anna Kasparian who is one of the hosts of The Young Turks. The Young Turks is a very liberal podcast. With Cenk Uygur is one of the hosts, and they were devastated during the election when Trump won. It was really interesting to watch.
It was fun to watch.
But Anna Kasparian lives in L.A., and she's taking note about the homeless situation there and how much money L.A. spent on the homeless situation and how much effect it had. And she's been red-pilled. Listen to Cut 11.
We spent $13 billion in Los Angeles alone last year to combat homelessness. You want to know where that money went? That money went to these trash nonprofits who have a bunch of executives making $500,000 a year. You're working for a nonprofit dealing with homelessness. That's my money. That's my parents' money. Okay? That is the hardworking people of California paying incredibly high taxes that go to what? So yeah, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. And honestly, just experiencing what I've seen on the ground in California has made me question a lot about left-wing ideology.
Well, she woke up.
Yeah. Woke up. I like the way you used that. I see what you did there. Woke up.
Woke up.
Woke up to, anyway.
I did some math.
Okay.
L.A. in 2025 got rid of, they reduced the homeless population, I should say, by 1,553 people. They took 1,553 people off the street, so their numbers
What'd they
going
do with
down.
Them?
I don't know. They may listen to this. They spent $13 billion. That works out to $8.37 million per homeless person. It costs them $8.37 million.
You could buy them a home for that.
I know.
I know. A nice place.
So Anna Kasparian has a point. That's a lot of money with very little effect.
Yeah, best she's saying is it's a industry, the homeless industry, is what she's saying. She's saying a lot of the money that's supposed to go to help people is not going to help them. It's going to support those nonprofit agencies and their all their salaries and everything like that.
And it's another one of California's.
Yeah, that's how liberalism works,
though. Yeah,
and that's why liberalism doesn't work for governments because they become bloated with this kind of stuff.
Yeah, but things are much better in Minneapolis.
Are they, Fred?
Yeah.
Why, Fred? Tell us.
$9 billion of taxpayers' money. Federal
fraud.
Yeah, fraud.
Tell us how that game worked.
How that game worked? Well, that again, we're going back to COVID.
Yeah.
When they were writing checks like there was no tomorrow, anybody wanted it. And it's not just Minneapolis,
right.
But that's the one that's in the news right now. But all kinds of people, dishonest people all over the country, created companies on paper. And they applied to the government. Hey, we had to shut down our company because of COVID. Send us money so we can give it to our employees. And they were just rubber stamping those things up in Washington. And people were making and getting.
They discovered a ton of fraud in the Somali.
Most of the people arrested so far in Minneapolis have been Somalis. including groups there. Remember, one of the most disgusting things was they applied for federal dollars because they were helping kids with autism. Except there was no kids that were helped with autism. Right. None.
When they did an audit, they discovered the company didn't even do anything.
No. And one of the most disturbing things is that one of these phony companies that were set up, one of these agencies, sending money to terrorist groups in Somalia.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Next story, Steve.
All right. Good news out of Nigeria. The Nigerian government has secured the release of 130 Catholic girls, kids who were kidnapped by jihadis back in, I believe it was November. And Nigerian authorities have secured the release.
Was it, wait, you're telling me that the, who was it, Mormons, or who was it doing the kidnapping?
Yeah.
Or was it?
It was
Amish?
It was, no, it was ISIS. It was
Boko Haram. The Muslim extremists.
Yes,
well, that's rare.
I know.
Yeah.
Boko Haram in Nigeria, they had kidnapped these kids, and they've found 130 of them and released them into captivity. So,
well, good. Praise the Lord for that. Hey, by the way, related to that, it's good news that I don't know if Chris mentioned it last hour. I don't remember, but I sent that story around about how many children that the Trump administration has found were missing or trafficked in the last year. Do you guys have that story?
I do have it.
Well over 125,000.
129,143.
Yeah. Okay, just read the first couple paragraphs of that, Fred, if you would. Do you have it? Or Stevie, if you have it up, go ahead.
The Department of Homeland Security, DHS, and Department of Health and Human Services have located located more than 129,143 unaccompanied migrant children during 2025, according to an official. Secretary of Homeland Security, Kristi Noem, wrote on X that under the Trump administration, the agencies had identified these children, many of whom had previously been lost or untracked. She added that efforts would continue until every child was accounted for.
How many children?
129,000 and 143.
You know, we remember when Biden was letting the whole world come into our country, which is one of the reasons the Democrats lost the presidential election. Well, a lot of those people that were coming into the country were unaccompanied minors because adults, I know this sounds terrible, but some of the adults were using the children to get into the U.S., and then they needed to stay together, right?
Yeah.
But then after they got into the interior of the U.S., they abandoned the children. I think this is what happened.
There was also a lot of trafficking of children purposefully.
Yes, that's true. But anyway, praise the Lord, that many children have been found and are not in the captivity of the smugglers or the human traffickers any longer.
Horrible. And this story was going on and continued through the Biden years. I remember scenes from the border during the Biden years where these bad people on the other side of the border, they were actually throwing kids over the wall. They would climb the wall, throw them down, because they knew American officials would take them and look after them.
Yeah. All right. Well, we are out of time. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Fred, Ray, thank you.
You bet.
Okay, folks, remember, we're taking a break from our shows starting Wednesday night at midnight. So tomorrow.
Tonight at midnight.
Oh, tonight at midnight. So tonight at midnight, we flip over to Christmas music for 3 days. So the next Today's Issues show we'll have will be Monday. Okay, we'll be live back here Monday, but otherwise we're going to have our offices and studios will be closed so that our staff can celebrate Christmas with their families like you are going to do with yours. Again, we appreciate you listening to American Family Radio, and we hope you have a wonderful Christmas celebration. And be safe and take care, and we'll see you on Monday.